Hey guys, it's Justin Hill here. Strap on your high heels and put on your pads because we're going drag racing. Ah, crap. She's bottomed out, guys. Play the music. Welcome to Stan Original RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under the podcast. And today, get your lippy out, get your makeup out, and spray that hairspray because it is makeover time. In today's ep, I'm catching up with the one and only Hollywood star where she tells me all about that moment RuPaul called her out for telling a fib about her age. Plus, season one queen, etc., etc., joins me to talk makeover challenges, piss elegant events, and working with dogs. And joining me on the podcast today, I cannot believe that I am talking to you now. It is the one and only Hollywood. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm surprised I'm talking to you as well.
Now, here we are. Gosh, you have had such an incredible drag race journey. You know, I feel like occasionally we see a queen come onto the show and you just see the star quality shining out of them. And I just also think that it's just so, like, your name is so fitting because, you know, what we were seeing from you is you kind of like glow this confidence that of who you are as a person. And I'm really hoping that this drag race opportunity got to allow you to show some of that. Do you feel like it was an opportunity to showcase who you are as a performer?
Absolutely. I think I really showcased myself very well. The performing qualities and things that I have always possessed and stuff. I've always wanted a platform. I've always wanted, you know, a place to express who I am and what I can do. And this was the perfect opportunity. And I just feel so grateful that I got to show that.
It's just, it's been a wild, wild journey, but I would love it if you could just like maybe step through this episode with me. Let's have a little chat about your time on Drag Race. And I feel like, obviously we find out this week that you are doing a makeover challenge, which I think for the first time in Drag Race history or herstory also includes animals this time, which is so fun. I mean, I feel like it's probably what you needed in the workroom at that point, wasn't it? And I know Gab was very vocal in saying like she kind of like melted because she was missing her puppies. They always say don't work with children and animals. So was it pandemonium and absolute nuts, or did you all just like melt into playing with the puppies and not actually doing the show?
Well, honestly, I love my dog. My dog means so much to me. So it was definitely just like, I feel like the relief, like, cause you know, to get this far into the competition and to have something like a piece of home, because we can't, you know, call anyone, we can't be on the internet and all these things. So when I saw an animal, I was already a mess. I was like, this is just, you know, all the walls are just like breaking down for this one.
Yeah.
But it was a little bit of, I think, chaos at first because they were all dogs that didn't know each other and things.
Mm.
But overall, like, the dogs, we just loved having them. They were just amazing.
Just so good. And we have to talk about this. We'll get onto the makeovers in a minute, but we have to talk about quite possibly one of the funniest moments of the entire season was RuPaul calling you out about your age. I mean, I feel like some people dream of having an interaction like that with Ru where she's like, girl, did you just lie to me? And you're like, no. It was so funny to watch on screen. Like, in the moment, were you kind of like, what do I say here? What do I do? Like, or, you know, like, it must have just been a hilarious, you know, situation between you. Because were you caught out? Were you just like, whoops?
Honestly, I was gagged and surprised that she did say that to me. But, you know, 28 is the new 18 in Hollywood, honey, okay?
Right?
No one in Hollywood tells their age.
No.
You know? And so I thought, I was like, the nerve, the audacity to ask me. That's what I wanted to say. How dare you? How
but you would never you? Say that to mother.
No, so I'm going to run off the set. God, I can't believe you asked me this. But yeah, it was quite funny and gag-worthy. But, you know, all in good fun.
All in good fun. When you said 28 the week before on stage, were you like, oh, this could get me into trouble? Or did it not even register? Were you just like, how old am I today? Oh, I'm just going to say 28.
Well, you know, Hollywood is a character. You know, I'm not a real
Right?
woman. I'm not a real woman. And so
What?
I know, it is so shocking
What?
because this face, honey, but you know, Hollywood can be whatever age she wants to be, you know. This is my enigma. This is my I can transform into anything and be anyone, you know, this is my superpower. So I didn't think anything of it when I said, you know, 28. And in the aspect of the advice that she gave me as well, that could apply to anyone and to any
For
age. You
sure.
know, it could apply to any age. You know, Saturn returning, you know, may have been a while back for me, but still, that will apply to someone else watching the show. And, you know, so, you know, I will take that advice and I'll run with it because, you know,
Yeah,
still
you're
what she
doing
said
the
to me.
people's work.
Exactly. You know,
Yes.
but no, it was totally unexpected. But, you know, I'm glad I had that TV moment because, you know, people are going to remember that.
Absolutely. And also too, you have been applauded, I've seen by a lot of fans online, for asking for that advice, which was really great. And I think it was just so nice to see you just say, hey, can I get some feedback from you? Because so many of the girls are too scared. But and like you say, it then pays dividends to everyone else because you know they could watch it and get the advice themselves. Now you go on and do your makeover, and it's just always such a beautiful opportunity for you to meet someone and hear their story. And like I was it sort of did it bring in a very emotional aspect to your drag? Because I saw you saw the tears, and it really did feel like it did move you quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely. You know, meeting Arlene was so amazing, and her story that she told me really hit home. I think just in my life and just recently, you know, a lot, not even just recently, for a long time in the queer community, there's been a lot of suicides. And I think mental health is so important. And so when she told me that story, it literally, yeah, it tore me apart. And we just had that connection with our animals and how they've been there for us in really
Yeah.
hard times. And moving to Australia 9 years ago, I've had my dog for 6 years. My dog has seen so much. He's seen the
Yeah.
good times, he's seen the sad times. And so, you know, when she told me that little Rue was there for her, you know, when she's been down, I instantly was like, oh my God, my dog Winston has been there for me when I felt down. I know they can't talk to us, but they have feelings and they're so.
Yeah.
So that.
And you got to meet my little daughter this morning, and she is like
Oh,
very special to me. Say hello to your
she's
auntie
so
Hollywood.
cute. Hi.
Now I gotta say, I finished the episode with watching that lip sync and just thinking it was probably the best lip sync of the season. You both were just giving it. And I feel like even though we don't want to see you as a drag queen lip sync, it's so funny because we kind of do want to see you lip sync because it's obviously something that you do really well. How did it feel for you after the performance and just you just gave it everything?
I was when I when I was, when they said that you were in the bottom, I was like, okay, that's fine. At least it's a good song. Because, you know, I wasn't a fan of all the songs that we had, but like I was like, this one, yes, honey, like it is like
Fire.
it was like almost like Vogue, like, you know. And I was laser focused. I was laser focused. I don't know what Gabby did because I was so focused on telling the story and just doing tricks and stuff that I've never done that they didn't see before as well. But yeah, I was shocked, very shocked, because I thought that I was at my best. And,
Yeah.
you know, I know that I'm a performer. So I am looking forward to seeing how they cut that together.
It was honestly, it was one of the best lip syncs of the entire season. Just incredible to watch. Both queens, both of you queens were just like giving everything, like I said. Before we wrap, any like here you are, like the show has aired. We've gotten to know you. We are celebrating your drag because you are such an incredible performer. But what did you walk away after this experience with? Like, did it surprise you what you walked away with, or were you kind of like prepping for this moment for your entire career?
I've been prepping for this for a very long time, and as I said before, like I have always wanted a platform. I've always wanted a voice for people to listen to me. And now that I have it, I feel so just grateful and so
Yeah.
I'm just looking forward to the future and, for people to listen to what I have to say and to make change. Because I think, having a platform and without, having a voice, like, why have it? So I don't.
Yes. And to do something good with it. And I really do feel like there are so many queens and people and kids and just everyone who's going to see you on our screens and just take something from your experience. And I think a lot of us could see ourselves in you. So thank you for bringing Hollywood into our lives. And I can't wait to see. I know you're joining Work the World. I'm so pumped. You've got your song out. You just are such a well-rounded queen, and I think you really delivered us great TV and great drag. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
And joining me on the podcast today is the queen of the roaches herself. It is the one and only, et cetera, et cetera. You know what? We were actually talking about you on this podcast recently.
Oh, really? Oh, my ears were burning. Actually, they're just quite hot underneath this head wrap, but still they were burning a little bit. What were you saying? I hope only
Well,
bad things.
we were just talking about Bumper Love's decision to go with piss jokes for, her stand-up. And I was like, the
Yes.
only other queen that's done that was etc., who had, a song written about piss. So at least you went that extra step further and actually had some material done.
Yeah, I know, but it didn't end well for her either on the show doing toilet humor. Maybe Rue just doesn't like toilet humor, and that's fair. It's not for everyone, but I loved a lot at Bumper's little set. I thought it was so stupid and funny.
Oh my
I'm
gosh.
always up for a bit of piss. It's Australian culture, It's Australian culture to get on the piss.
Well, I have interviewed one of the wonderful 78ers in the past who, if you don't know who they are, go and do your LGBTQIA plus history. But and Lance Day is his name, and he said to me a term that they used to use back in the day was piss elegant. And I absolutely love that.
Ooh, well, I think, to be honest, I think I'll be re-adopting that one because I always feel elegant. So I'll be taking that.
You are absolutely. I encourage you to use it. I actually popped up in something I saw the other day and I was like, oh my goodness, I haven't heard that since I spoke to Lance. That's so great. Now we've got you on today because we want to talk about this most recent episode, which was very interesting. It was the Makeover Challenge, and it involved, for the first time in Drag Race history, dogs, which I thought was very interesting. We've never really had, like, I guess the closest of having like more than one person in a makeover situation, or person, I'm using the term loosely because it's a dog, but maybe when we had the brides and their husbands or fiancés that got made over, and I think this is the first time we've ever done anything with animals. I mean, they say don't work with children and animals, but apparently it was lots of fun on set.
Well, I think we've had a lot of dogs on Drag Race, but never the full-legged kind, We've had a lot of very hairy, stinky, smelly animals.
I just walked you
It
straight to that joke, didn't I? Literally on the lead, straight
Yeah,
to the joke.
on the lid. I see what you did there. But it was a bit of a, I would have been gagged if I saw that walk in, just because it is like, I've worked on sets with animals and they're like trained dogs that are specifically, made to work on film or, theater sets. And these are just regular dogs.
Regular.
I would have been a little bit scared because I would have gone, really, the control's up to the animal in this situation. There's not much you can do if the dog doesn't want to behave. The dog does not want to behave. We're not talking about Lassie. These are just like random dogs. They could derail
Totally.
my entire glamour journey.
And no amount of treats was going to tell them to like stop doing what they were doing because they were in a really weird environment with so many, I imagine, amazing smells that they wanted to explore. But what is your take on a makeover challenge? How to, because I feel like we all feel a particular way about Snatch Game. We all feel a particular way about, rusicles and stuff like that. But when you hear the word makeover challenge, where does your mind go?
Well, see, I was eliminated the episode before the Makeover Challenge on my season, but I was so excited for it. I love putting people in drag. I've done it a bunch of times. I used to work as a makeup artist. There's something really exciting for me about not only the physical transformation that goes on, but mentally putting someone in the place where they start to access that, like, feeling of, oh my God, yes, that's so glamorous, that's so beautiful.
Woman.
So that's what I love to see in the makeover challenge. I love to see someone walk in who might be a bit more unassuming, who, you know, says, oh, I don't really wear makeup. And then through the power of drag, they can become a little bit more, you know, of a glamorous, glamazon superstar, alien princess lady. And I think we've had so many great makeovers on the show, so many times where we've been like, actually, that person should be a drag queen competing on the show themselves. Mm-hmm. So I always love going into it because I feel like you uncover, like, the hidden drag queen in all of the beautiful guests that come on. And in this case, the hidden drag queen inside these dogs.
Who knew? It was hiding in dogs all along. Yeah. And also, too, I feel like it's very interesting because this makeover challenge almost is a really great way of showing how we can challenge the gender binary because people think, right, they think, oh, manly man, like that delicious man with the mustache that was the guy that was from Birmingham, like, oh my goodness, oh, yes. Just like took my breath away. He's someone I'll get to in a minute. But people think, oh, manly man, I'm, you know, just wait to see how femme he's going to be and stuff like that. But then you can also have a cis woman, you know, like we had on this episode, who also discovers their inner diva. Because so there's nothing to say that, like, it has to be the gender opposite, or it could just be a new place of exploring gender, right? Or as a performer.
And I love that. I love that the makeover is kind of like a window into piece of drag for everyone. Mm-hmm. And how the drag is less of a thing that fits a certain group of people, but more an energy that you take on and a power that you unlock. And I think it's why the audience loves the show. I think people sitting at home who don't do drag, they watch an episode like that and they get inspired. They go, oh, maybe I'll do it one time. You know, I think it is one of the episodes that people sitting at home who love Drag Race and love drag but don't do it, you really connect in and go, this is the episode for me. It's about people like me. Because the, you know, the rest of it's fun, but I feel like there's a lot of heart always to the makeover challenge. And I do like that. I like peeking beneath the surface, scratching underneath the sequin and finding a little gooey center of goodness.
Oh, quite the descriptive word there. Delicious. Yum, yum, yum. Now also we've had some interesting things happen, and I'm keen to get your thoughts on the entire season so far. One of my highlights, which is hilarious, has been there have been, do you remember like the cherubs? The cherubs were like the hilarious thing that we were all like, why are there cherubs? Who can tell us why there are cherubs? And this season, it's hilarious that the producing team have done something similar in the sense that, like, and they haven't done it in the last episode or so, but they go to a shot that's of a random thing in the workroom. The first one was there was a high heel holding, I think it might've been Ashley Madison's makeup brushes. And then there was like someone else was using a, do you know those glow in the dark Siggy bins that you put your butts out in? There was one of those holding someone's stuff. On your season, like, you know, were there any little moments when you did eventually get to watch it back that you sort of is a bit of an in joke between you and the girls, or something that you spotted that was like just a random thing that you're like, oh God, there's just such a story behind that, but no one's going to get it?
I think for us, it was seeing the world react to the workroom for the first time because when we were on set, we were like, this seems really small. I wonder if it's going to look small. I wonder if it's going to seem like it's tiny. And then we watch it back and we're like, oh yeah, it looks small. It looks small. But also when we saw the cherubs for the first time, we didn't know. We were like, this is like weird, whatever. And we kind of like had in jokes about them. And it's nice to see that people have taken on the love of them as much as we.
And they've lasted.
Initially people were very anti-cherub. I remember a lot of anti-cherub sentiment, cherub phobic, if you will. But I think the world's come round and recognized that they are the guardians of our Down Under drag race. And if we removed them, things could get even worse than they already have been. So they're holding the universe together, the fabric of the Down Under.
They're kind of like our mystical gargoyles that are holding they're the glue that holds the show together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like that riddle. One is lying and one tells the truth, and they like it's the door to like heaven or whatever.
Oh, a labyrinth reference.
Ooh, yeah. So, and I think the cherubs as well. I like how they keep cutting to different shots of them, like in different
things. Yeah,
like yeah, disarray.
Yeah,
like they're the characters. I'd love one week for them to be the guest judges, just behind the judging panel.
Oh
you
my
know,
God, could you this imagine?
We've got the cherubs, and they're just sitting there.
They're just like. Stone.
Yeah, camp.
Thoughts on the season?
Yeah, they should have
so
actually
far.
Done the makeover on the cherubs.
Oh, great idea. They'd be like, no, honey, you can't wear those lashes. You've got to bring out your inner diva girl.
Yeah. You're looking a bit stony.
That foundation on you is a little light. Let's try something with a bit of color. Thoughts on the season so far? I mean, who are you hoping takes out the crown? Like, you know, now that we're down to the pointy end of the competition.
I think this season's been interesting because more than any season before, we've seen a real range in experience in drag. I feel like first season was a lot of people that had been doing drag for quite a long time. I mean, I'd been doing it for 4 years, but I was like the newest and freshest on the season, you know? And then
we've got 12 months, haven't we?
Yeah. I feel like some of these people have been doing drag for like a minute and a half. And I think it shows a range of like different experiences. You've got someone like Bumper, who's an industry veteran, or Isis, who's been doing it for like 10 years. And then you've got people who've been doing it for a very short time. So I think it's really interesting to see those different voices kind of competing in the same space. I think with that comes like a bit more of an, you know, there's a bit more drama here and there because we're seeing the clash of different perspectives, people valuing different things about their drag. I've seen some of the challenges this season and I've been like a bit suspicious. I've been like, I would have been personally haunted by things like having to ride BMX bikes.
Right. And I said to the girls, I was like, how heavy were the bikes? And I think it was Ashley said they were really heavy. They were not like stage bikes. They were like proper BMX bikes that they had to hoist around the stage. I'd be haunted by that too, for sure.
Yeah. So moments like that, I've been like, oh, wow, this season has taken some wild twists and turns that I didn't anticipate, but we got here. I'm kind of split. I'm like half rooting for Gabriella because like she's this fabulous underdog who like represents Australian drag so well and like delivers this very unique niche product that like you appreciate or you don't.
Yeah.
But then I'm also like, oh, I'm also rooting for like Isis because she represents another beautiful kind of Australian drag and the polish and the showgirlery of it all. And I love obviously Floor and her makeup and her style and sense of style. I think at the moment I am team Isis just because I think that she represents like she has the whole package right now in such a beautiful wrapped up way. And I've seen her work as well and like worked with her and she is just so professional and like talented and her energy is so warm and kind. But honestly, I'm like any of them if they took the crown at this point, I'd be like, I think you're all fabulous. I think the girls that have reached top three are just all so fabulous and represent their own kinds of drag so well.
And as we know, you know, and you are a wonderful example of this, it doesn't matter if you win or not. You can go on and just use the platform and become a household name and be, you know, touring around and dropping music and like doing all sorts of fun things, right?
Oh, yeah, like a virus. You can't eradicate me. You can just get a vaccine and hope you don't catch it. But, yeah, no, it's 100% true. And I think that no matter what happens, these girls are going to slay out the drag industry and turn the party boots house down
mama.
But maybe for the first time yet in Drag Race Down Under history, we might be getting an Australian winner.
The shock and horror of it all.
I know. Which personally I will celebrate. Because I think it's time the crown came over the Tasman Sea and resided somewhere.
Wouldn't you
here.
Just scream if just like floor just like it comes through, floors everyone and just takes out the crown and we miss out on it again? I would die.
You know what? I mean, there is something about Kiwi drag that is just so, I think, resonates with audiences. It might be the funny accent, or it might just be like I honestly think that isolated drag scenes are really special because the people there, they have their own, like, they grow their own drag culture. So it's really unique. It's really fresh. They're not copying anyone else. Like, you see in America, there's so many drag queens and so much drag media that you see very similar kinds of drag emerging.
Yeah, you just see a lot of carbon copies.
Yeah, Kiwi drag is in its own lane. Like, there's no one like Kiki Jackson, you know, that she's like one of one. And in a way, Floor is super, super unique as well.
And you know what? I mean, as Australians, we will just do what we have always done with things like, you know, Russell Crowe and just claim them as our own anyway. So.
Yeah, exactly. Floor, move here. The water's fine.
Yes,
Come on.
Australian. I mean, down under, you know, we'll just claim you as our own. What a lovely note to finish on. It has been so lovely to chat with you. And if people want to see you, where can they follow you on social media and where can they see you in the flesh?
Well, you can follow me at et cetera, the full word, long spelling. Look it up. You'll find me on all social medias. I'm on TikTok as Glamourbug. You can find me there. And I'm doing shows around. I mean, I'm so busy and booked and blessed and fabulous and successful. If you want to catch me, you'll find me. And if you don't, then watch out because I'll probably come get you anyway.
I was going to say, look under a rock or something. That's where the bugs are usually hiding.
Yeah, exactly. It's spring now, so I'm in my vacation mood. So I'm just going to be like, anywhere that's fabulous and has a beautiful pina colada for me to be sipping on, I'll be in attendance. So invite me to your soiree. I haven't been to a good soiree recently. I need to get back into, you know, a glittering, fabulous event with free booze.
Maybe it could be a piss elegant soiree.
Oh, I think I'm on my way to a piss elegant soiree right now.
et cetera. So great to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Lovely to chat with you as well. Bye.
Well, that is it for another week. Can you believe that we are down to our top three in the competition? And in the next episode, I will be chatting with our third crowned Down Under Queen. I just can't believe that we're here in this season already. It's gone so quickly. Now, in some exciting news, I will be hosting the TikTok Live event at the finale of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under Season 3 this Friday from 5:45 p.m. on the Stan TikTok page. I am going to be chatting with our winner, some exciting guests. You got to make sure you check it out. Catch RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under exclusively on Stan every Friday. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on the Listener app so you don't miss a minute of the charisma, uniqueness, nerve, or talent. I'm Justin Hill, and I'll see you next Monday with our winner. Until then, look over there.